Welcome to the Joy of Cruising podcast with your host, award-winning author, Paul C. Thornton, a weekly conversation with the amazing cruisers featured in the Joy of Cruising trilogy, comprised of The Joy of Cruising, Cruising Interrupted, and new release, The Joy of Cruising Again. Each book is a compilation of features about cruisers and cruise and travel personalities from around the world. It's the next best thing to cruising, hearing about cruising from the unique and diverse perspectives of Paul's amazing guests.
Hello, passionate cruisers. This is Paul. And this week on the Joy of Cruising podcast, I am delighted to welcome Lucy, creator of the Cruising as Crew, a YouTube channel, website, and Instagram platform. Lucy has worked for Virgin Voyages in the shops and for Royal Caribbean and Disney Cruise Lines as a shopping ambassador. I'll be sure to ask Lucy to elaborate on and differentiate between these positions. Lucy's passion, the mission of her website and channel, is to facilitate the entry of others into working on cruise ships. Her tagline is, helping people land their dream job on cruise ships. After qualifying as a beauty therapist masseuse at age 19, Lucy got a job with Steiner International, a leading recruiting agency for cruise ship spa departments, which Lucy calls hard work but the best thing I've ever done. Lucy's cruise ship work includes the onboard spa 2015 to 2017 on Royal Caribbean, a Harding Retail 2018 to 2022 on P&O and Virgin Voyages, and in 2022 she became a shopping ambassador and worked on Disney Wish and Royal Caribbean Harmony of the Seas. Lucy's motivation to create Cruising as Crew was because, as she says, before I started working on cruise ships, I would scour the web for information on life on board and couldn't find much. So I thought I would put together something that Lucy wishes she could have read. I wrote about cruise ships, crew, staff, and officers in my latest book, The Joy of Cruising Again, in a section called Ship Life. And from when I first started cruising, have been intrigued with what it would be like to work on a cruise ship. It is my pleasure to chat with Lucy to gain some additional insight into that and to share her story with the listeners of the Joy of Cruising podcast. Welcome, Lucy, to the Joy of Cruising podcast.
Hello. Oh, it's so amazing to be on here. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. How are you doing?
I am so well. Yeah, I'm really well. Thank you. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. So before we talk about cruising as crew, tell our listeners about yourself, where you're from, where you live, your background, anything you would like to share.
Okay. Well, yeah. Hello, everyone. Like, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Lucy. I have worked on cruise ships for the past 10 years. I am from a place called Worcestershire in England. So have you heard of Worcestershire?
No. How close is that to London in Southampton?
Well, from London, I'm about 3 hours away. So London is 3 hours south of where I am.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I can recall those two names, London and Southampton, because I have a crew for next year where I'll be leaving out of Southampton, and I understand it's not too far from London, so I'll get a couple of days in London to see what it's like.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, London is absolutely amazing. Have you been before?
No, only to the airport. We had a stop there. I was going to Italy, and we stopped at Heathrow, and I kind of imagined how nice it would be if I could spend some time in London. So,
yeah, no, oh, you'll love it. I'm sure you will.
Yep.
Just bring an umbrella.
So you say you're from, what do you call it again?
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire. Okay.
Yeah, so for the people listening, you might have heard of a sauce called Lee Perrin's Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah, it's a very good sauce, very good for cooking with, and that is where I am from. Oh. That is the claim to fame.
Okay. So I was asking about your background and anything else you'd like to share?
No, I don't think so. I think that's everything that, you know, is relevant to what we're going to talk about today.
All right. So when did you start Cruising as Crew, and what mode? I alluded to it in the introduction, but I'll put it in your own words.
Okay. So I actually wanted to start a YouTube channel forever. Like, you know, I've wanted to do it for a long time. And then 2020 happened and we were all stuck indoors with nothing to do. So I was like, well, I've got all this time on my hands. And if I don't start a YouTube channel now, I never will, because I'm never going to have this amount of time to do it. And the reason I started it on cruising is because year 2020, I had already been working on cruise ships for 5 years. So obviously I knew a lot about what it was like to work on cruise ships in the industry, but there's really not a lot of information on the internet about working on cruise ships. So what I find is that people who start working on cruise ships, they get on board and it's so overwhelming because you really don't find out about it until you embark. So what I wanted to do is just let people know what they can expect from getting a job on board a cruise ship, so people actually knew what they were getting themselves into. Yeah.
So how's it going? How's Cruising as Crew going?
It's so good. You know, I started the YouTube channel, as I said, just because I wanted to try it. And I was really just hoping to help a few people out. So the fact that it's doing as well as it is, you know, I have to kind of pinch myself every day. I can't quite believe that we've got almost 70,000 people. So it's really great. And it's really lovely that I get to help people and, you know, aid them in their transition from land to working on a cruise ship.
So give us an overview of your various platforms. I know you have a blog or a website. You have your YouTube channel, IG.
Yeah, so my main one is YouTube. I'm really not that great at posting on any other platform, if I'm honest. So I have a YouTube where I post one video every Sunday. And then I have my Cruising as Crew website. So there's a lot of informative blog posts on that website, but it's also where I sell some products. Like, I've made some career guides. So that's, you know, if people want to get hold of those, that's where they can get those from. And then I do have Instagram, but I don't, if I'm honest, I don't really post on there too regularly. And that's it, really. So YouTube is the main one.
Those listeners who are not familiar with your channel, you say you post every Sunday. Give us some typical, talk about some of the posts that you've done recently so that they can get a feel for the kinds of things they can expect when they come to your channel.
Yeah. So videos that I've made recently are like, how much time off do you get when you work on a cruise ship? Some things that crew members hate passengers doing. We go into, you know, how to get all of your paperwork to be able to work on a cruise ship, what you can expect from your first week working on board, how to navigate having a good relationship with your roommate. Because obviously, as I'm sure you know, when you get a job on a cruise ship, 90% of the time you will be sharing a cabin with at least one other person. So it's really important that you know how to cultivate a good relationship with the person that you're going to be living with.
Well, those actually sound like some fun topics to talk about right now. So so you mentioned, the first one you mentioned is time off. So give us some insight.
So time off. So obviously the thing is, there's not a one fits all answer
sure.
with this, because obviously it depends on what cruise line you work for, what job you do on board. But all cruise lines, follow the MLC guidelines. So basically what this entails is you can't work any more than 14 hours in a 24-hour period, and you can't work any more than 72 hours in a 7-day period. You must have 10 hours off in a 24-hour period, and I think you must have 77 hours off in a in a 7-day period. So, you know, if you're going to work 72 hours a week, that basically equates to 6 12-hour shifts. So that means that you have to have at least one day off a week. But as my followers will know, getting a whole day off on a cruise ship is pretty much unheard of. So what your manager is able to do is give you like 2 half days off. So, you know, you might get 6 hours off one morning and 6 hours off another morning, which will add up to you getting your day off a week. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another what sounds like fun topic you mentioned, something to the effect of what do passengers do that cruise ship workers don't appreciate, or something like that. So give us some insights. What do we do that you all don't like?
Oh, I'm going to have to think about that. This was a video I made a while ago. So something is, every crew member will come into contact with this, but it's basically when passengers, not all passengers, obviously, most passengers are wonderful people, but of course there's always some that like to brag about kind of what status they are on the loyalty program. You know, every cruise ship now has a loyalty program,
right?
And you know, some passengers like to really go into depth about, you know, how high up they are on the loyalty. Sometimes it can just come across as them bragging about like how much money they have. And I don't know. I just know that a lot of crew members don't appreciate when, you know, they're stuck in a conversation with a passenger who is, bragging about their loyalty status, if you like.
Okay. So, and I'll ask you about some others, but first let me ask you that you indicate that you currently work for a company that hires shopping ambassadors for cruise ships. So talk about that. What is a shopping ambassador?
A great question. So my job is basically to promote the shops. I am the face of the shops, if you like. So I'm also there to give big spenders like a tailored shopping experience on board and assure, and just be there to answer any questions about the shops. But you know, before I was a shop assistant, so I had my own shop, whereas as a shopping ambassador, I kind of oversee all of the shops.
So if I'm on a ship that you're a shopping ambassador for, and I go in the shops, I don't see you, you're behind the scenes? Or I mean, what's the difference between working in the shops and being a shopping ambassador?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
So if I'm working in the shops, I will have a designated shop. So, for example, when I worked on Virgin Voyages, I was working in the makeup shop. So if you came in the makeup shop, I would be there to help you find the right product and check you out and get the sale. Whereas as a shopping ambassador, I'm going to be kind of walking through the shopping area and just talking to guests as they're shopping and just making sure that they're having a good time. Also helping them find the right product for themselves. But really, I'm going to be doing like any seminars. So you'll often find that there's a port and shopping show on a cruise ship.
Okay.
And that's what I do. So I do the port and shopping and I basically promote, like tell the passengers all of the shops that are available on board and ashore. And then if those passengers have any specific questions about shopping, maybe they want to buy something specific, then they can come to me and I can answer those questions.
Now, I don't know if you can answer this, if you're willing to answer this, but I know you've worked on various cruise lines and various cruise ships. You mentioned Virgin, for instance. So I'm going on my first Virgin Voyages cruise in a month, actually.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
So talk about what it's like as a crew member. Is that the right terminology to refer to you as a crew member? Okay. So talk about what it's like as a crew member specifically for Virgin.
It's the best cruise line I've ever worked for. It is, they have some fantastic creeds. They're really trying to be good for the crew. Like, it's really important to Virgin that the crew have a good experience and enjoy their time working on board. And you can really feel that on board. You know, they've been able to cultivate an amazing culture within the crew. And ultimately, I think that gives the passengers a better experience. You know, happy crew, happy passengers. And yeah, it's fantastic. The crew areas on the ship are amazing. They are understanding with crew members wanting to be in passenger areas. So, you know, there are some cruise lines that won't allow crew members to go in passenger areas at all. Whereas Virgin Voyages are very much like, as you know, as long as an area isn't busy with passengers, crew members are allowed to be there. So it really enables crew members to feel like it's a home away from home, which I think is really important when you are working on a cruise ship for sometimes up to 9 months.
So Lucy, when you say Virgin allows crew members to be in the passenger spaces, you're talking about in their off time, right? You know, when they're allowed to like eat in the restaurants and all of that.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So rather than me asking you specific questions, how about just giving us an overview of working on ships?
Oh, okay. Well,
what would you have liked to have heard when you were 19? I guess it was 19 when you.
Yeah, 19. Yeah.
Okay. 19. Yeah, when you started and there was no channel like yours. Talk about the things that you think aspiring cruise ship workers would like to hear.
I mean, working on a cruise ship is nothing short of an exhilarating adventure. You know, typically someone can expect to spend 6 to 9 months in close quarters with people from every corner of the globe. So this creates an environment that is extremely intense. It can be very challenging at times, but ultimately, I really believe it's the most rewarding thing you can ever do. You know, people who work on cruise ships develop great relationships with themselves due to being away from loved ones for so long. You know, you have to learn to rely on yourself. However, you will also get a deeper understanding of like different cultures and backgrounds, which will enhance your social dexterity as well. And of course, on top of this, you're going to be on a cruise ship. So you will be exploring loads of exciting destinations, which I believe is the reason that most people choose to work on a cruise ship. I mean, it's certainly why I decided to work on a cruise ship. But yeah, I mean, it's just the craziest experience, but it really is wonderful.
So how often do you get to experience the various destinations? Do you always get off when the ship stops?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, this depends on what job you do on board. So because I worked in the shops, So the shops can only be open when the ship is at sea due to tax reasons. So this means that during the day, shop staff usually have the majority of the day off and will just work in the evening once the ship sets sail. So this means that I was very fortunate and I was able to get off the ship almost every day and actually explore the places that we were, which is amazing.
What are a few highlights of places that you destinations you've been able to experience?
Bora Bora, Tahiti, Alaska, Hawaii, Australia.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
you're all of the places that you're naming. Well, I've been to two of them, but the rest of the places you're naming, they're all on my bucket list.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, there is no way that I would have been able to afford to go to these places if I hadn't have worked on cruise ships. So, I mean, there's so many reasons to work on cruise ships, but that alone, I mean, the fact that you can visit so many places and you don't have to pay for it. You get paid to do it is just incredible.
Now, what about, talk a little bit about behind the scenes. Let me preface by, I've written a few cruise books, and in my last book, I had a section called Ship Life where I actually interviewed, one was a maitre d', one was a captain, one was a videographer. So different people doing different jobs. Talk about some of the behind the scenes, what goes on behind the scenes. I've heard some great stories about the crew bar. You know, what one of the people I interviewed, she found love in the crew bar. She met her husband, who was a ship engineer.
Oh, a lot of people find love in the crew bar.
I hear that. How do I want to say this? I don't want to stir you up. Let me just say, I hear that you guys like to party. You guys know how to party behind the scenes. Yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah, no, we do. I think again, like, it's a real work hard, play hard environment. And for example, working in the shops, it's the department on board that tends to work the least amount of hours. But as I was saying earlier with, you know, the MLC hours work, I was still working like 54/60 hours. So can you imagine, like, you're working a 60-hour week and compared to everyone else, you're barely working? I mean, how crazy is that? So you definitely have to blow off some steam. So yes, crew members definitely know how to party. And, you know, the cruise lines facilitate this a lot of the times. They'll put on fantastic events for the crew. You know, there'll be lots of dress up or like themed parties. Sometimes there'll be like a games room. So they'll have like games night, or they'll do like a crew basketball tournament, or, you know, it depends on the cruise line again, but yes, we definitely know how to have fun. And I think it's so important because working on a cruise ship is so demanding that you need to blow off some steam. You know, it's required.
Are there cliques on among the staff? In other words, like do the shop personnel mix with the people who work in dining or the people who work in housekeeping, or is it one big happy family, or do people tend to stay around the folks they work with?
Yeah, again, that depends on the ship. Like, I've definitely worked on P&O Oceania, where everyone just came together. You know, the shop staff hung out with the casino staff, who hung out with the doctors. You know, everyone just came together. But then I've also been on ships with Royal Caribbean where you do primarily stay with the people who work in your department. And yeah, of course there's cliques on board. You know, if you're on a cruise ship, there's going to be like a minimum of 1,000 other crew members, and there's going to be people that you prefer to other people. So there's definitely going to be cliques that are formed. You can't help it. But yeah, I think the best thing is when everyone just gets on together and it's just a big melting pot, you know, of the different jobs and different cultures. And that's really when ship life is kind of at its best. in my opinion.
Now, you've worked on a variety of lines. You mentioned Virgin, P&O, Royal Caribbean. There was another one.
Disney,
yeah. So and you very emphatically stated that Virgin, you really like Virgin, and it was a great place to work. So I know where you stand with Virgin, and maybe you don't want to answer this question. How do the other cruise lines compare? What stands out? I don't know if you want to say what you don't like about a particular line, but can you give us a little bit of differentiation between what it's like to work on one line versus the other? Other than you did talk about how P&O seems to be like more of one big happy family. Anything? What other differences are there?
Yeah, I mean, like Disney, as you can imagine, is very strict, very by the book. However, Disney have also cultivated an incredible culture on board. Like, I was actually really, I don't want to say shocked, because that makes it sound like I had a bad expectation, but every crew member on Disney was so kind. Everyone was looking out for each other. So on Disney, you really felt like you joined a family, which is amazing. And I found that although Disney was very strict, as long as you followed the rules, your life was great. And actually, Disney are very, you know, they want to see their crew members do well. They want people to progress. So if you're committed, then you will have an amazing, amazing time on Disney. And I thoroughly enjoyed working on Disney, you know. And then Royal Caribbean, I actually found Royal Caribbean to be the strictest, which is surprising because you would think Disney would be stricter than Royal Caribbean. But I believe this, I think this was because I was on one of the larger ships. I worked on Harmony of the Seas. And I think I would have had a very different experience if I'd have been on one of the smaller ships, because obviously the bigger the ship, the more money it generates for the cruise line, the more eyes that are on it. So, again, like I say, it depends like cruise line to cruise line, but sometimes it really can be ship to ship, you know, like Royal Caribbean Rhapsody of the Seas, which is a small ship, is going to be very different to Royal Caribbean Icon of the Seas, you know?
Another thing you alluded to when you were talking about the recent videos at the channel was living arrangements. Yeah. Say a little bit about that.
Yeah, so most crew members share a cabin, especially if you go for an entry-level job. You will be sharing a cabin with at least, well, one other person. And you will be sharing a bunk bed. And the way it works is the new person coming in will generally have the top bunk, and then they will graduate to the bottom bunk when their roommate finishes the contract a few months into theirs. And I mean, it's interesting. It's because the person that you're going to be sharing a cabin with is probably going to be from, you know, the other side of the world. Like some of my cabin mates, I've had one from Australia, China, South Africa, Morocco. I've also had one from Scotland as well. But, you know, you are living in a shoebox with someone who is from the other side of the world. So it's a really interesting experience. Sometimes it can be good. Sometimes it can be bad. And, with this, it really is luck of the draw.
Do you run into much in terms of a language barrier?
Not really a language barrier, because to work on cruise ships, you have to be fluent in English.
Okay. I did not realize that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, obviously not every cruise ship, but most of the major cruise lines, you have to be fluent in English. So a language barrier isn't really an issue. But, you know, cultural differences, religious differences, you know, they can definitely cause issues sometimes.
Yeah, I... The reason I'm a little surprised about the fluency in English is I have had situations where I have been communicating with a crew member, and I wonder if they understand what I'm saying. So, and that's more, maybe more on me making assumptions than reality, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I look, like, at the end of the day, you have to pass an English test to get a job on a cruise ship. But just because you can pass a test doesn't mean that you can have a conversation in English. Do you know what I mean? So, for example,
sure.
I've been learning Spanish. I'm sure I could pass a Spanish test, but actually, if someone started speaking to me in Spanish, I'd probably freeze up and I wouldn't be able to say anything. So, you know, some people are going to be better at speaking English than others. But hey, I mean, the fact that anyone can speak a second language, I genuinely think it's the most impressive thing. So, you know, if anyone's listening and, you know, they're thinking, oh, she's being a bit judgmental, like genuinely, I can only speak English and a little bit of Spanish. So I really do think that the fact that people can speak one, two, even three or four languages is just the most amazing thing ever. But yeah, no, I guess there can sometimes be a language barrier, but I've never experienced it.
Now, what are the things on a cruise ship, the activities on a cruise ship that are available to passengers, of course, but are absolutely not available to crew? For instance, on the big Royal, or not Royal, the big Carnival ships. I know that that's not in your, you haven't worked on Carnival, but on the newer Carnival ships, you know, they have a roller coaster, which looks, I mean, I've been on it, but it looks, you know, looks very, very inviting, very interesting. Would crew ever get the opportunity to ride on a roller coaster?
I don't know, because it depends on cruise lines, but I think so. I mean, when I worked on Disney, I was on the Disney Wish, and they have a big slide on the Disney Wish, and crew members.
Aquamouse was, is it called? Or?
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yes, the Aquamouse. Okay. That's it. Yes, well done. So the Aquamouse, but crew members are allowed to go on the Aquamouse as long as it's not busy with passengers. And to be honest, I think this is the general rule of thumb for most cruise lines, unless you go on some of the 5-star cruise lines like Seabourn, Crystal, Silver Sea. You know, obviously, if you go on those cruise lines, crew members aren't going to be allowed to do like any of the passenger stuff. But I believe a lot of the major cruise lines are happy for their crew members to get involved as long as it's not overrun with passengers.
What about the casino? Are crew members allowed to go to the casino?
You're allowed to go in, but you're not allowed to gamble.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Even so, it doesn't matter if you're, I mean, if, under no, so you can't gamble on your day off.
No, under no circumstances, you cannot gamble as a crew member.
Okay. What are the most common questions you get? Not from people like me who don't know anything about working on a cruise ship, but what are the most common questions you get from individuals who aspire to work on ships?
How do I get a job on board? How much time off will I get off? How much time will I... Oh, I can't speak. How much time off will I get? How much money will I earn? And all of these questions are incredibly difficult for me to answer because, again, they're very general and each answer will depend on what job you end up with, what cruise line you end up working for, and which recruitment agency you get a job through. So I do try to answer these questions as best I can, but ultimately it just depends on what you end up doing.
Are there certain jobs that are easier to get, high demand jobs? High demand on the part of the cruise line that they are constantly struggling to fill?
I would say bar staff and, you know, being a waiter or waitress or housekeeping, they will never have enough of those, you know, jobs. I'm not going to say they're easy to get. Cruise lines are generally always looking for people to fill these positions.
So would it be fair to say that, you know, when I see like a lot of people, stateroom attendants and what have you, would it be fair to say that maybe they wanted to do another job on the cruise ship but they just took that in order to get their foot in the door?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I did. I worked for Steiner to start with. So I worked in the spa and I didn't like it as much as I thought I would. So then because I had got my foot in the door, I then got a job working in the shops on board. And yeah, a lot of people do this. There was on Virgin, we had a girl who was in housekeeping who transitioned to the shops. There was another guy who was a chef who transitioned to being an entertainment host. So yeah, I definitely, just like with most jobs, once you've got your foot in the door, it's easy to change departments. So a lot of people do that, yeah.
If I may ask, and you may not want to answer, but what did you trained for the spa in your regular life, and then you got in, and every spa that I've been in on cruise ships has been really nice looking. So you got into a luxurious or nice looking setting. What didn't you like about it?
I didn't like the hours. So if you work in the spa, you will absolutely work those 72 hours a week.
Okay.
So the work's incredibly demanding. Obviously, if you're massaging people back to back, it's a very physical, you know, it takes a physical toll. And then the money, ultimately the money just was not enough. I think I was earning about £1,000. And especially being from England, like if I was working a job in England and I was working 72 hours a week, I would be earning a lot more than £1,000. So it wasn't that I didn't like the job, but it was just that I started working on cruise ships because I wanted to see the world and I was working all the time.
Okay. Okay.
So I wasn't actually seeing anything. I was just seeing it from the window.
What do you think is the biggest misconception that people have about working on ships?
There's two things. So people either think it's a vacation. It's very easy because, you know, you go on an Instagram profile of a crew member and you assume that they never work because Monday they post a picture in the Bahamas, Tuesday they post a picture in Jamaica, Wednesday they post a picture in Aruba. But what you don't see is actually they had 3 hours to get off the ship, lie on the beach, take that photo before going back on board and working a 12-hour shift. You know, that's what you don't see.
Okay.
But then on the flip side, people think, you know, if you go and work on cruise ships, you're going to work every hour God sent. So, but I mean, you work a lot. You know, when I was working in the shops, I was working 52 hours a week and I thought that was barely working. But the pros outweigh the cons. Like, you're going to meet amazing people. You're going to see incredible places. You're going to, do a lot of self-growth. You know, there's so many pros to working on board a cruise ship that, yeah, the pros outweigh the cons.
So let's go back to your introduction to cruising. Talk about your first cruise.
So is this my first cruise that I worked on or my first cruise that I
first cruise
on?
Period.
Okay. So I was 18. I had said to my parents that I wanted to work on cruise ships. And my parents are absolutely amazing. So they were like, well, I guess we need to go on a ship then and make sure you're not seasick or make sure, you know, it's all right. So,
right away, I can see why you said your parents are amazing. That was an awfully nice gesture to get them to take you on a cruise. Now, had they cruised before that?
No, we had never cruised.
Wow, that's a very nice gesture
is,
to make sure that you are going into the right thing.
Talk
about that.
Yes.
Yeah, so, what cruise line did you go on?
So we actually went on Carnival Sunshine from Miami, and we went around the Caribbean for 1 week on Carnival Sunshine. As I know now, you know, Carnival is a bit of a party ship, so I'm going to say it wasn't the right cruise line for my traditional British parents. I, on the other hand, absolutely loved it. I was annoying all of the crew members because I was like, what's it like to be a crew member? Tell me about this. Tell me about this. Tell me about this. And I mean, I had the best time. I just thought it was the best thing ever. So it kind of, it solidified the fact that I wanted to work on cruise ships. My parents, however, have not cruised since.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, were your parents, after the cruise, were your parents concerned for you or happy for you or neither?
I think neither. Like, my parents are, I'm so lucky with my parents, and they really just wanted me to do what I wanted to do. So they were like, well, yeah, if you want to try it, go for it. And I don't think any of us expected me to be doing it for as long as I have done. I mean, I thought I was going to do it for maybe 2 or 3 years and then do something else, but it's been 10 years now and I'm still doing it. So
on that first cruise, did you, I sense that your impression of it was positive.
Yes.
You liked it. So when you interacted with the crew, you said you would ask every crew member, well, a lot of crew members, you know, yeah, what's it like and how do you do it and blah, blah, blah. Were they very open? Were they very, did they interact with you easily?
Yeah, no, they were amazing. And actually, I remember on that cruise, they had an event where a crew member was in the theater, basically talking about what it was like to be a crew member. So of course I went to that little show and it was amazing. And afterwards I went and spoke to him and said, hey, I'm considering working on cruise ships. And he sat with me for about half an hour and just answered all of my questions. So yeah, it was such a invaluable experience, really. And it really made me feel at ease with my decision to work on a cruise ship.
Kind of ironic that the one cruise line that you haven't worked on is kind of the cruise line that
I know
attracted you to cruising. Were you worried at all about, were you anxious at all about seasickness or anything like that?
No, not really. No, I don't get motion sickness. And obviously when we went on the cruise, I didn't get seasickness. So I was like, well, I'm sure I'll get seasick one or two times, but as long as it's not chronic seasickness, then that's fine.
Now, once you started working on ships, do you ever cruise for leisure? When you're not, you know, have you ever taken a cruise where you're not working?
Yeah. So in January, I actually went on Cunard Queen Victoria with my friend Billy, and we went to Hamburg. And it was one of my first leisure cruises in years. And it was wonderful. I'd always wanted to try Cunard, you know, being British. And I actually had the Sun Princess booked for its inaugural cruise, but they pushed it back because it was obviously taking too long to build the ship. So unfortunately, I didn't get to go on that one. But yeah.
You have any cruises booked?
I am going to book one, I think, for next month, but I haven't got it booked yet. So it's going to be a P&O one.
Okay. Do you have a cruise bucket list? You've already been to most. When I ask that question, you know, most people say Bora Bora, Hawaii, all of the places that you named earlier. So, you know, that's on a lot of people's bucket list. What's on your bucket list?
So my bucket list is actually Scandinavia. It's the one place that I haven't been. So Norway, Finland, Sweden, Denmark. That is the one area of the world that I have not been to yet. And it's the one area that I really, really want to go to. So that is top of my bucket list.
Okay. Yeah, Norway, as I mentioned to you earlier, I'll be going on my first cruise out of Southampton. And that's Norway.
Well, I'm very jealous. Very jealous.
So how can listeners follow Cruising as Crew on social media and the internet?
So like I said earlier, my main channel is YouTube. So it would be incredible if you would join me and, you know, go to Cruising as Crew and just press subscribe. But that's really it. I mean, you can follow me on Instagram if you want. It's Cruising as Crew on Instagram as well. But as I said, I'm pretty rubbish with posting on Instagram. So there's not really much incentive for you to follow the Instagram.
Well, I certainly hope, Lucy, that that you'll get some listeners to join your channel as a result of you being on the show today. Before we let you go, a couple of fun cruise questions. So the first fun question or light question, this is an easy one, but you know, it's a way for me to get some ideas. Do you have a favorite cruise drink? And what's your favorite cruise food?
Okay, so my go-to drink is a margarita if I'm on a cruise. That is my holiday drink. And you know what? Favorite cruise food. I have found that every cruise ship does amazing cookies. There's something about cruise ship cookies that just hit different.
No disagreement from me. What's your most memorable or funniest or even most embarrassing cruise or port experience?
Oh, wow, there's so many. I think my most embarrassing moment, I was on my first ever cruise ship, Rhapsody of the Seas, and I had done 6 months, and I was told that I was being transferred to another ship, Legend of the Seas. So I flew from Athens to Singapore, where I was going to join Legend of the Seas. Now, before you join a cruise ship, every crew member has to sign a piece of paper basically saying, I'm healthy, I'm not bringing any diseases onto the ship, right? So I signed this piece of paper, and I was healthy, everything was fine, all good. So I got on the ship and I start my shift. I'm in the spa, I'm at work. And about 5 hours into my shift, I'm feeling really dodgy, you know? Things aren't going well.
Oh, wow.
So I say to my manager, I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I have to go to the medical center. I told her what was wrong. And she was like, yep, absolutely fine. Off you go. So I went to the medical center, and bearing in mind the ship had not left port yet, we were still docked in Singapore. So I go to the medical center. I tell the nurse what's wrong, and she's this tall, stern Swedish woman. I say, look, I'm so sorry, but you know, I've got this issue. My stomach's a little bit dodgy. And I'm thinking that she's just going to maybe give me some medication. But she's like, well, you have to get off. You have to get off the ship. And I'm like, what? She's like, you signed this piece of paper saying that you were healthy, and clearly you're not healthy, so you lied. And I was like, no, I didn't lie. Like, this morning I was absolutely fine, but this has come on in the last hour. And she was like, well, you need to get off the ship. You need to go to your cabin. You need to get your bags, and you need to get off. And I said, but if I get off the ship, I'm going to be stranded in Singapore, because this ship isn't coming back to Singapore. So it's not like you can pick me up next week. You're leaving. She was like, well, that's not my problem. And I was like, actually, I think it's very much your problem. Like, this is the medical center and I'm a crew member who's ill. Like, I need your help. Anyway, she was not having any of it. So she called an officer down, who then called another officer down. And I, bearing in mind, I had been sat in the waiting room for like 3 hours in a lot of pain, you know, not what you want to be doing when you're feeling really ill. In the end, the captain came down, because she had made such a big deal about this crew member, you know, is ill and she needs to leave the cruise ship. So the captain comes down, looks at me, says, what's wrong? And I was like, well, my stomach's really dodgy. All I want is to have some medication, but she's telling me I need to get off the ship. And the captain's like, no, just send her to a cabin. She just needs to be isolated for 3 days and it'll be fine. Like, so I go to my cabin. I'm isolated in my cabin for 3 days, which is awful, because I had only just got on the ship. So I hadn't had chance to get any internet. I didn't know anybody on this ship. My roommate thought I was crazy because, like, I had just gotten on board and I wasn't leaving the cabin. It was just the worst thing ever. But because so many people had heard about my situation, I was known as Diarrhea Girl.
I didn't mean to laugh at you, but you caught me. You caught me by surprise.
Oh, no, it's funny. Yeah, it's funny. So, you know, when I left the cabin finally, and I was starting to meet people and introduce myself to people, people would literally say, like, oh my God, you're a diarrhea girl. Like, I honestly, I was like, how am I going to make any friends on this ship? Already stigmatized me as diarrhea girl. So yeah, that is probably the most embarrassing story I have. It was mortifying. And I don't want to relive it.
There's not too many stories that are going to top that one. Now, Lucy, I will tell you, I recently celebrated a year, my first anniversary, first birthday as a podcast.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. And so to mark the, I did a special issue, which, you know, I asked this question, your most memorable, your funniest, your most embarrassing. I asked this of all my guests. And so to celebrate my birthday, what I did was I went back into all my episodes in the first year and I picked out the best, most memorable, the best, funniest, the best, most embarrassing. I warn you, I got a feeling when I do this after my second birthday, you're going to be on it. Because that story is, and you were only on your second contract?
Yeah, that was still my first contract, just my second ship.
Oh, okay, that's right. You moved from one ship to the other, but it was your first contract. Wow. But it sounds like it was a happy ending because You got well and you finished out your time on that ship, right?
I did. Yeah. And I recreated my reputation, you know, which was the main thing.
Diarrhea girl. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Lucy, it is so good to get to meet you virtually.
You too.
Thank you for coming on the Gerald Cruising podcast. All the best to your channel, Cruising is Crew, and all the best to you. And as I like to say, we will see you on the ocean.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, guys. Bye.
The Gerald Cruising and Cruising Interrupted, each $16.99 plus shipping, and new release, The Joy of Cruising Again, for $18.99, can be ordered at the link on thejoyofcruisingpodcast.com. For each of the three books, use the discount code JoyofCruisingPodcast and get $4 off. The Joy of Cruising books are also available at Amazon. Order the ebook at Amazon or your favorite online retailer. Stay in touch by joining the Joy of Cruising Podcast Facebook group or following the Joy of Cruising Podcast on Instagram. We're constantly adding new shows. Please leave a review and tell a friend about us. We hope you enjoy this brief escape to the ocean. See you next week.